Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now, let's talk about manliness. Time magazine reporter Joel Stein has completed a journey to learn how to be the manliest man possible, all out of a fear that his new son, Laszlo, won't grow up with enough masculinity in his life. His adventures are recounted in the new book, Man Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity. Joel Stein, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So your book is serious and your book is funny. Let me get that out right up front. Were you seriously confused when you first became a dad about what it meant to you to be a man?
Yeah, before that, when I saw the sonogram and they told me that that smudge was a penis, I didn't think I cared what the gender of my child was. But then as soon as I saw that, I freaked out because I pictured like having to take that penis camping and that penis needs to know how to throw a baseball and maybe that penis getting in a fight and having to coach him through that. And I'm not capable of any of that stuff.
And you begin with the belief that you yourself are not very manly.
No.
You just said you're not capable of any of those things you just listed. How do you measure that?
Not at an NPR studio, but out in the real world. I can tell the way people look at me. No, I've always been afraid of confrontation. When I was a kid, I basically had a glass animal collection. I had a sticker collection. All my friends were girls. I didn't listen to anything except show tunes until junior high. Anything at all manly scared me.
You were like a metrosexual Abe Lincoln. Oh, that's another topic.
I was like a six-year-old metrosexual. Yeah.
But the book is a quest to find how to teach your son how to be the man you're not, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't want him to grow up as afraid of confrontation as I am. I didn't ask a girl out until a year after college, and I asked her out with the line, "Do you go on dates?" Which isn't the manliest way to ask someone out.
That's probably not the most effective way. So you go around to some stereotypical guy kind of guys, firefighters, pro football and baseball players. Who else?
Oh, I went one round in the ring with UFC fighter Randy Couture. I did 3 days of boot camp with the Army, during which in the first 3 hours before I'd done any physical activity whatsoever, it was hot and I was wearing several layers of clothing. And I locked my knees, but I fainted daintily.
You did.
Into the arms of a soldier.
So, listeners, yeah. We can open up the phones to talk about masculinity. More serious or more whimsically, seriously or whimsically, that's your call. But 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you think you can teach masculinity? Other fathers, have you struggled with this today, especially if you're not kind of a stereotypical macho kind of guy? And what did you decide for yourself masculinity means? And what do you want to convey to your son or teach your son about this? 212-433-9692. And for that matter, women can call up on this too. 212-433-9692 for Joel Stein, author of the new book, Man Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity. Did you ask your wife what she finds manly about you?
Oh, yeah. It was a short conversation.
Ha-ha.
Yeah. No, but her dad is really manly. He rebuilt their whole house. He's very, very quiet and silent, very nice guy, but much manlier than me. So, but she wasn't looking for a macho kind of guy when she was dating. But she does wish I was more of a protector, and she does wish that I could fix more stuff around the house. So any improvement I made in those categories, I think she appreciated.
And you write about this like rush that you feel when you travel around with firefighters, for example, and have these manly moments. You're with a brigade going to a burning house and you feel this rush of excitement and bravery. What is it? How do you understand it?
It was weird because I didn't think I had it in me. It was a fire at a sushi restaurant at 2 a.m.
Of course it was at a sushi restaurant.
Yeah. It was suspicious. The arson unit was brought in. So it wasn't like I was dying to really endanger myself. But I did feel their excitement. It was infectious. And I was dying to go in there because it seemed like where the action was.
Doesn't everybody know sushi is supposed to be uncooked?
I know. It was 2 a.m. Yeah, it was deeply suspicious.
Anna in Queens. You're on WNYC. Hi, Anna.
Oh, hi. I just want to say that I don't like a man's man. I like them very gentle and sensitive and sweet you know, being rich or, you know, macho is really or actually macho is kind of a turnoff. So, you know, a guy that's more towards, like, more female sensitive. That's what I care about.
May I ask if you have kids?
No, I don't.
So you're not really in a position to, like, if you had a son with a guy who, you know, fits your description of who you want to be with, how you would want him to translate something different from you or transmit something different from you to that son. You've never thought about that, I guess, right?
No. Like I said, that, you know, I might want him to be like his father.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important to me.
See, Anna's the problem, because there are enough women out there like her that guys like me could get girlfriends and wives. So we never had to learn to defend ourselves in the real world.
Defend? Is that what it's about?
Yes, very much so, yeah. Because, you know, 50 years ago, there weren't women like Anna. No one, I mean, there were very few, if any. If you further back in time you go, due to technology and intellectual progress, the manlier people get. If you go back to, like, the Bible, men spent all their time, like, going to the town next to them and killing as many people as they could, enslaving the rest and grabbing their wives, right? But now we don't have to be that way, but I think we've lost a little bit of our self-reliance and confidence because of it.
Lisa in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. I love you guys. I love this conversation. And, okay, I got that point. And, you know, yes, some guys are a little less sexy because they're a little less manly. But in terms of a son, I have a son and a daughter. In terms of a son, you are who you are. And I don't care how much you try to get into all this other crap and try to, you'll bring what you bring to him. You'll try to learn with what he wants to learn. But then you bring in all your crazy, really macho men friends and surround yourself with all sorts of men. And then you just get to be dad. It's not all your responsibility.
Well, that's exactly what this guy, Randy Couture, this UFC fighter, and my own dad, who's a very manly guy, both said the exact same thing to me, that this idea of trying to shape who your son is going to backfire, and it's a fool's game. And your son comes with a personality, and you could already tell that. The most you can do is kind of expose him to things and try and let him break out of whatever identity he has so he can try some things that maybe he isn't as good at. But yeah, the idea of trying to turn him into something is a stupid, stupid idea.
And your son is how old now?
He's now 3.
And you're right that he is seeking answers that you don't have, searching for enthusiasm about things you know nothing about. You're right. He's nothing like me. He's obsessed with cars. So maybe he's going to become a guy's guy regardless of you.
Yeah, but he's also non-confrontational and wimpy on the playground. But yes, he's very into cars, which I knew nothing about before I had him. Like, he's taught me about cars because he knows more than me. He's into tools and cars and that kind of stuff.
And you live in New Jersey, don't you?
No, I grew up there. I live in L.A. now, which may explain the car thing. Yeah.
But somehow you grew up in New Jersey and live in L.A. without knowing much about cars. That's a trick. One of the people that you meet for the book is Warren Sapp, former NFL All-Star lineman. You ostensibly are there to learn how to play football, to be physical.
No, just to watch it. No, he's just going to teach me. I just needed to know how to sit in a room with other guys and watch the game.
But you wind up talking with Warren Sapp, of all things, about monogamy and cheating and whether men are built to be faithful.
Yeah, I can turn any man conversation into a less manly conversation very quickly. Yeah, I was looking at pictures of what was then his girlfriend, and he explained it wasn't his wife because his marriage broke up because he would go to games and be in a hotel, and a woman would come over, and they would sleep together, and it all fell apart because he impregnated her. And so I asked how that went over with his wife, and he said it didn't go over well when I impregnated a different woman the second time.
I guess not. Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Alan.
Yeah, hi. I, first of all, would have to say that I pay a tremendously and absurdly high price for the ideal of being a manly man, which means that particularly at a certain age, you are doing things like, you know, I was at a kid's birthday bowling party the other day, and, you know, bowling is one of those things, if you don't do it regularly, lifting a 25-pound ball or whatever it is, you know, it's just like a, you know, probably a 50% chance of throwing something out. which I did. And I'm constantly trying to do things in various sports, which, you know, 20 years ago would never be a problem, but, you know, trying to keep up. And I think that it's just I don't know why I'm so insane to actually follow this part of my brain that's telling me, oh, you got to prove, you know, to yourself that you can do these things, that you can be a man, that you can feel manly.
Physical feats and staring down the risk of injury. Yes?
I'm sorry?
Physical feats and staring down the risk of injury.
Exactly. And which also will inevitably, if you're married or have somebody close to you, will inevitably cause some kind of rift between you and that person who has some sense of objectivity of the fact that your body isn't what it was 20 years ago and will say, please don't do that. You know yourself, and your response is, oh, come on, don't worry about it. I know best. And, you know, of course, you don't.
Alan, it's okay to use the 8-pound bowling ball.
Yes,
it really
Alan,
is.
The pink one's fine. You don't have to prove anything.
But you take his point, though.
Yeah, I think Alan needs to just work out a little more.
Thing.
Yeah. No, I think you do want to push yourself. I was, when I fought Randy Couture for that one round, it was 5 minutes long. I lived through it. I was very happy. I was exhausted. And he looked down at me, like Muhammad Ali, as I was laying on the mat, and he said, do you want to go another round? And I yelled no as loud as I could. But afterwards, after the adrenaline left and I calmed down, I wish I had gone that second round. It bothers me still.
Is there a funniest thing you discovered about masculinity during this, what you call, stupid quest?
God, it was all funny to me. I think the funniest thing to me was going turkey hunting, which I knew nothing about. And I thought you just go and you find a turkey and you shoot it. And when I did that, we saw a turkey in the field. The hunting guide looked at me like I was a horrible person, just an insane psycho serial killer of turkeys. You have to sit and hide and try and trick the turkey by making the noises of a very hot, horny female turkey, and then draw the male turkey to you, and then shoot him in the face when he's very close.
That may be the funniest, stupidest thing about masculinity that you uncovered. It may.
Yeah, hunters pretending to be female turkeys is kind of awesome.
30 seconds, really. Was there anyone you met along the way who you said, that's the perfect man? He's got the balance. That's the kind of person I want my son to be.
A lot of these guys, you know, I walked in thinking they'd be kind of stereotypical lunkheads, and they weren't. They all had some side of them that I didn't see. Either they wrote poetry or, you know, something. Even Randy Couture, and certainly Sean Green, this baseball player who, you know, doesn't hunt, doesn't watch sports. All these guys were much more complicated than I thought.
Paul Stein, Time Magazine reporter, his new book, Man Made, A Stupid Quest for Masculinity. Thanks a lot, dude.
Thank you, dude.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, a mansion in the Bronx. It's the Bartow Pell Mansion Museum as we continue our tour of the city's lesser-known museum gems. Stay with us.